we are here in Gaiva, and we pointed out that it's very difficult to it's a very difficult period of time we're in right now. We're being humbled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in many ways, this is the Avodas HaZman. It's a Zman where we should really feel humbled. And in that tzchus, we should have a Yeshua. There's so much going on, and it's just, it's a lot to digest. It's too much to digest. But by the fact that we're having a Vod in Midos is like being Chozer B'tshuva. Anytime we're reading a Sefer, learning a Sefer Musar, that itself is a tshuva. So we're learning about Gaiva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in general says there's no room for him and Bali Gaiva in the world. Because if you think that you're all that, so then you don't need a Rabbona Shalom. We only need a Rabbona Shalom when we ourselves are humble people. But if we think we can take care of everything, so then there's no room for us in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's go over the last Baal Gaiva that we had. It was kind of humorous, the type of Baal Gaiva we had. He was somebody who, he was such a Baal Gaiva that he wanted to become famous for being an Anav. And he would do things to look like an Anav. And this way people would praise him for being an Anav. He hung out with like people of lower class. He would sit in the back of the shul. He wore funny clothes. He enjoyed the image of people thinking, wow, he's so humble. And that's so sad because really inside, this person was a faker. And the Mesillas Yesharim brings a medrash that you have a house that's filled with straw. Nobody knows. Everyone looks at this gigantic house and they're so amazed what could be in this great big castle. And there are a few holes, cracks in the house, and straw starts coming out of the house and everybody knows, it's just straw, worthless. You know, basically animal fodder. There's nothing there at all. And that's what happens to these people who are fakers. They're not going to make it their whole lives and be successful. They're going to end up embarrassing themselves and showing their true colors. But again, the reason why we're learning this is not so that we could think that we discovered problems in people that we know. Rav Volba actually writes in one of his Mechtavim that one of the big dangers of Musar is that you can use it as a sword to attack anybody that you meet. Meaning before you learned Mesillas Yesharim, you just thought, oh, there are Bali Gaiva in the world. But you didn't know that there are five types of Bali Gaiva. And now you look at the table, you go, David is Bal Gaiva number B, letter B. And he's Bal Gaiva number D, letter D. So now, because you learned Mesillas Yesharim, you can be more judgmental of people. And Rav Volba says that's how Musar destroys a person. If a person learns Musar to think of everybody else in their lives who have problems, that's not why we learn Musar. We learn Musar to improve ourselves. When we read about Bali Gaiva, what we should be thinking is Baruch Kunstler, nice to see you. When we learn about Gaiva, we should be thinking about how to improve ourselves. And that's something that all Bali Musar really do. Real Bali Musar, when they read something, they try to figure out what it has to do with them. So here he continues, and he says, there are certain arrogant people that their arrogance is hidden in the recesses of their heart. Lo yotziu al ha-maisa, it never comes out externally. But they feel like they're so knowledgeable compared to others. They really don't pay attention to other people. People come and tell them things, they're like, right. Beautiful. Mamish. Great vart. And they're thinking to themselves, this guy can't teach me anything. If I have something that's hard for me, no one else could understand it, right? This guy thinks that if he has a kasha in the Beis Medrash, his friends can't help him, because if it's hard for me, you think that my friends could help me with this, right? You think my friends could help me with this? And the truth is that, but this is a very interesting thing. Even very bright people, exceptionally bright people, get stuck sometimes on very basic things. And you always need your chavrusa. A lot of times the talents that one person has, even though they're very, very talented, still the other person could add something that you would not imagine. I remember I had the privilege of learning b'chavrusa with a real Baki B'shas and a real Eloi. And I was so intimidated. And I had no other choice because there were no chavrusas for me, and he offered to learn with me. And I remember the first day learning with him, and I was very, very nervous. And we were reading a Rashi together, and he read a Rashi. And then I said to him, you know, I think the Rashi should be read this way. And he looked at me like puzzled because he knew that, you know, he was the Baki B'shas and I was the regular guy. And he said, wow, Tovim Hashnayim Min HaEchad. It's good. Two are better than one. I was shocked myself. And we had a wonderful chavrusa where I saw that I really could contribute a lot to even somebody who's brilliant and even somebody who's a Baki B'shas. But at the end of the day, people's minds think differently. But the arrogant person would say, what could he possibly teach me? I'm so exceptionally bright. Yoni Greenberg, great to see you. I'm so exceptionally bright. And what in the world could this man teach me? But that's so silly. There are so many things that that people think differently. Some people are mathematical. Some people are more creative. And after the mathematical people have a very hard time being creative. And the creative people sometimes have a hard time being mathematical. There are certain people who are more philosophical. There are certain people who are more logical. And part of Anava is really to recognize that that everyone has what to add. Everyone, without exception, has what to add. I learned with many Bachrim who are supposed to be, obviously they are years behind where I am, just in years. But there's so many times I learn things from these Bachrim. Daniel, are you in Arizona? I think he's in Arizona. We have an Arizonian on the line. This is very special. Maybe he's on a cactus or something. Anyway, just a joke, just a little Arizona humor. Okay, Yoni, don't take offense. There are cactuses in California too. Anyway, so what I'm trying to say over here is that you can always learn from every different type of person. It's really a sheker. A person who thinks that he's so smart that he can't learn from others. I learn from my Bachrim all the time, even though I'm a little bit older than them. But a lot of times they surprise me. And this guy feels that he can't learn from anybody. Okay, here we go. Umash is sichla mar lahem kol kach barer hu v'kol kach pashet ad shelo yechushu l'divrei achokam aleim. And when they have a pshat in the sugya, they feel like there can't be another tzad because they have this pshat. That's how arrogant they are. Ad shelo yechushu l'divrei achokam aleim. They don't pay attention to the people who disagree with them. Im rishonim. Here he says a very big point. Even if an early, like an Achron or a Rishon disagree with his pshat, like, what does the old rabbi know? Can you imagine such arrogance? There are people like this, by the way, that I remember I once gave a shir in Ramban. And I had a relative who was not so mechunach, not an immediate relative, but somebody who was not so mechunach in the proper methodology and even hashkafa of the Torah. And afterwards, he told me, I didn't understand your shir. And he starts asking me these questions about the Ramban. How could the Ramban say this? I'm like, wait, you're asking me how the Ramban could say this? Did I explain the Ramban properly? He said, yeah, but I don't have a problem with you. I have a problem with the Ramban. And he was like attacking the Ramban. And I just realized, like, my Rebbeim always taught me there's no such thing as attacking a Ramban, right? You can misunderstand the Ramban. You could not understand the Ramban. But this person, the way he understood was, why? I have a brain and the Ramban is a brain. And just like if my brain doesn't feel that it works, so maybe the Ramban is wrong, right? That's obviously a approach that is based on arrogance and understanding of the fact that the earlier generations were not greater than us. That's what we call an approach called progressivism, where we believe that men know more now. It actually is rooted in the apicorsis of evolution. Evolution teaches you that you came from a monkey. So therefore, the later you are, the further you are from a monkey. So that means that I'm smarter than the Ramban, because the Ramban was closer to a monkey than me. But if a person understands life properly, that there was an Adama Rishon who could see Mesofa Olamat Sofa from one side of the world to the next. And Zalmi, good to see you. There we go. Nice smile, Zalmi. It looks like you're bungee jumping, Zalmi. You're either in a car or you're bungee jumping.
I'm in a car.
One of the two. Sruli, it's good to see you, Sruli. Are you in Israel? Probably. Yisrael, you're in Israel? It's probably in Beit Shemesh. Probably not Beit Shemesh. Safer. Okay. Sorry I interrupt. It's just exciting to see the guys. I totally forgot what I was talking about. No, I'm talking about the Ramban. Thank you. The Ramban, so if I believe that man was from a monkey, so the Ramban is closer to a monkey than me. But if I believe that there was an Adama Rishon who could see from one side of the world to the next, so then essentially, Adama Rishon is the greatest man that lived. His Hasagas, by the way, were more than Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't know if people know that, but that's Mefurish in the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, that he understood more than even Moshe Rabbeinu. So then the Ramban was closer to Adama Rishon, he was closer to Maimon Har Sinai, and all these things. But if a person doesn't have that attitude, then they disagree with Rishonim. And that's the arrogance that's around. Obviously, we are not taught that way by our Rabbeim, but there is such an apikorsis out there. You should be aware of the fact that that there is such an apikorsis. Okay. So this guy, he's so arrogant that if he has pshat in the sugya, he assumes that nobody else could have a better pshat than him. And he's very, very startled if anybody does. And they have no doubt that they're right. A lot of times, if you can get one of these guys, prove them that they're wrong, then you really startle them, because they get all frazzled, because they were shocked that they could be wrong. It's just like not something that they would have thought. Kol Elu told us Gaiva Hamishiva Chacham Machor V'Daita Mesakelis. These types of arrogance actually make Chachamim go backwards and become foolish. You think about it, because the idea, Ezu Chacham Halomid Mikol Adam, right? Who is the wise man? The wise man learns from everybody. Why is the wise man someone who learns from everyone? The answer is because you really can learn from others. Every person has a different perspective, which is valuable. I mean, if I think about it, when I prepare a shmooz, the amount of people that went into that shmooze, I would love to say that it's my shmooze, but that's not fair. I might have heard something that at 18 piqued my interest, and that got me to read a certain sefer. And then I was exposed to Rav Moshe Shapiro, and then Rav Noach Orlowick, and then Rav Naftali Kaplan, and then I was exposed to this sefer, and then this new sefer came out. And this, and then when I think, oh, look at the wonderful shmooz I created. If Hashem would reveal to me that 50 or 60 people were involved in helping me with that shmooz. Even my sefer, which I would love to say was my own creation, but even just the writing, help with the writing. I had friends look it over, Israeli friends, American friends. I had my chavrusa, who's a very talented Israeli, edit the whole thing with me. I had a professional editor. I had that before that, Rabbi Mandelbaum, look over the sefer. And then when I see the final product, I would like to just say it's little old me, but that's not right. Every person adds and enriches our lives, and without them, we would be lost. So therefore, the Baal Gaiva who doesn't learn from other people is a total fool. Because he's missing out on knowledge that he could get, that he could attain, ways that he could grow if he would be able to include more people in his life. Sometimes I really laugh at myself when I see how people can point out to me the most obvious ideas that I would have missed. If I would have just depended on myself, I would have totally missed those ideas. And part of being somewhat of an unav, I guess, is to have seichel, to be intelligent enough to know that people really are valuable. You know, a lot of times you can tell when someone's humoring you. Like, you know, when you come over to someone and you tell them something, do they really care what you're saying? Or are they just going, right, very nice, could be, we'll have to see, you should know, right? That's called humoring somebody. But if a person really believes that people are capable of giving you so much, then you'll notice when someone is like that, they listen. What's he saying? Wow, I hear that. And if they're not humoring you, they actually could grow many times from what you say. Many times I've had questions in the Mesilas Yesharim Vav that I give in yeshiva that I brought straight to my Rebbe Rizvulin, and he's asking me, a bacher asked you that kasha? I'm like, yeah, a bacher asked you that kasha, asked me that kasha, and he told me, I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed that the Bachram are thinking so analytically. I don't remember who asked me this kasha. Maybe it was Yitzi Mandel, but we were doing Yesoda Chasidus Vishor Shavodas Mim at the beginning of Mesilas Yesharim, and he was insistent on getting a clear definition of the difference between a Yesod, a foundation, and a Shoresh, which is a root. It was very hard. And I want you to know, I never told Yitzi Mandel this, but you can tell him, but what Rav Zvulin answered me opened my mind to a whole new sugya in Midas HaYisod that we did in Shovavim. Based on the answer to his question, I was able to advance in my knowledge tremendously on something that I never had thought of entirely. So that's the idea over here, that Bali Gaiva are not just arrogant, but they're foolish. Mesira Lev Rashiachach Mabavki Talmidim Shaloshim Shukol Tzarchem. You even have whippersnappers, I think that's what they're called, young whippersnappers, who barely figured out how to learn. Shekimat Nifkuhu Einayim. They just started getting a Derech HaLimud. Kfar Chachmei Chacham Shavim and Belivim. They already think they're big shots. This is what I call in the modern yeshivas, I call it Mishnah Brura Syndrome. Right? You have these guys, the first time they learn the Mishnah Brura, they read, ooh, it says in the Mishnah Brura, you're not allowed to walk in the Dalet Amos of your friend when they're davening. And then Mr. Mishnah Brura, who this is the first time he saw this halacha in his life, goes over to his Rebbe and goes, excuse me, Rebbe, I noticed that you walked in the Dalet Amos of your Shimon when you went past, right? Excuse me, do you know that the Marsham in Das Torah talks about that there's a difference whether you're at the front, you're at the door or not at the door? Do you know that there's an issue sometimes of Kavod Habrias and it's mutter? Do you know the dinim of Studim that you can go to the left or the right? What do you little punk know? You have the Mishnah Brura syndrome. The Mishnah Brura syndrome is, I discovered America. I just started learning Mishnah Brura. And he comes and comments to every person that he knows about his big yediyas in the Mishnah Brura. Val kulam nemar tovas Hashem kol gvalev. These are abominations to Hashem. And mikulam sarach shiinaka rots. Right, a person should realize that if they just started learning, then it's very likely that they're missing something. They're missing something in Derech HaLimud. They're missing something in, Ari Schwimmer's here. Very nice. Gabi's here. All the hey, somebody has got Netanyahu's picture on their thing, and it's scaring me because he's supposed to be quarantined, and now he's on our thing. All right. Anyway, just a little bit of Israeli politics. Umikulam sarach shiinaka. It's very hard to give a joke on a what's this thing called on Zoom? You know, there's an old Chinese adage. That if a tree falls in the forest, no one's there to hear it, does it make a noise? So I have another such chakira. If you make a joke on Zoom and you can't hear the laughs, is it a chefs of a joke? I don't even know if it's a joke. It could be a joke levatala. Anyway, umikulam sarach shiinaka harotze b'midas v'nikiyas, v'yedav yavin Ki ein ha gaiva ela ivaron mamish. Gaiva blinds people, Rabosai. Asher ein seichel adam roach es ronus of machbich v'susa. Arrogant people don't see their obvious flaws. That's something that very much annoys me sometimes, is people who are so arrogant that they don't notice they have flaws. Unfortunately, I notice many of my flaws. If anyone wants to sit down, get some popcorn after this and ask me my flaws, I'll be able to entertain you for 3 or 4 hours telling you all of my problems. I don't know if that's appropriate for me to do because some of you view me as a Rebbe, but I'm happy to do it if it'll keep you busy in the quarantine, give you something positive to do, think about my chesronos. But I was taught by my Rebbeim that it's okay to have problems. And not only is it okay to have problems, that if you don't know your shortcomings, then you haven't even begun Avodas Hashem. The whole thrill of Avodas Hashem is knowing what you need to work on and working on it. This Baal Gaiva is so far gone. It reminds me of the person that Rav Avram ben Arambam brings, that they came to somebody, they came to the Rambam, and they said, there's somebody who doesn't say any of the Al-Chaits because he doesn't need to. He says that he didn't do anything wrong. So the Rambam says, tell him that he should say an Al-Chait for thinking that he doesn't do anything wrong. Meaning, if a person's not self-aware, there can't be any worse type of Avera than not realizing what your shortcomings are. She'ilu ayyachaliros, if this guy could see, vayamakira emes, he would see the truth. Hayasar misrachim yikol adrachim arayim yikol kalam eila harka gadol. He would distance himself from this stupidity, always making a spectacle of himself, always trying to act significant and big and thinking that he's better than others. Just give me a break, please. Please, you think you're all that? He's going to discuss this again when we get to Midas Anava. This is an unusual thing that happens in the Mesil Sisharm. Usually the Mesil Sisharm talks about something in one area and does not repeat it. However, in Parak Yud Aleph, he talks about working on the Midah of Gaiva, and then all the way at the end of the Sefer, he talks about humility. And he himself is referencing to that. What does that mean? He doesn't speak about anger twice. He doesn't speak about laziness twice. He doesn't speak about jealousy twice. He only speaks about arrogance twice. The answer is there are two levels in arrogance. There's getting rid of arrogance, stopping to be arrogant and pompous and all these things. And then there are levels of humility, high, high levels that are at the end of the Sefer. Meaning after you graduate from just not being arrogant, there are levels of modesty. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu reached the level of Ha'ish Moshe Anav Ad Ma'od, right? And the Mishnah itself says, Ma'od, Ma'od, Shafal Ruach. It's almost like a grammatical problem. It's the only time in my knowledge that the Mishnah ever says, Ma'od, Ma'od. Imagine you say at your age, not when you're 4 years old, thank you very, very much, right? Very, very is usually not grammatically correct. Either thank you so much, thank you very much, but thank you very, very much. But the Mishnah says you should be very, very humble. The Mishnah is saying there's something called super duper humble. Ma'od, ma'od, shafal ruach. And that's something that's like far, far, far. I'll end with a story that the Rambam says on that Mishnah to show you how far this can go. The Rambam says if you want to know what it means, being very, very humble, he talks about somebody who was not able to afford a regular seat on the dock of a ship, and he was with the luggage, and a man who was standing on the dock saw this guy in the luggage, and he looked at him disdainfully, and he went to the bathroom on him, and he was filled with meraglayim, and he could not believe that someone did that to him. Very strange story in the Rambam. And he says to himself, I didn't feel any pain. I was amazed that I reached the level that it didn't bother me bechlal. And this was the greatest moment of my life. And the Rambam says this man really reached the tachlis of anava. Now, if you put that in Perek Yud Aleph of Mesil Sisharm, no one would go further. Everyone say, this is out of my pay grade. You have to wait all the way till Midas Anava, which is all the way in Perek Chav Beis, and then you're ready for this. Everyone, try to think about how far we are from not getting upset in that case. Next time, we're going to be covering anger. Anger is very exciting because there are a lot of reasons to get angry when you're cooped up at home. So we need to really work on anger, and that will be tomorrow. If we're not doing an Ask the Rabbi, or I don't have smicha, so it's really Ask Chaim Dov, but there might be Eli Bash. You get the joke? I don't have smicha, so it's Ask Chaim Dov. Eli, you're not. Ellie's not laughing. Eli, are you on mute? Eli Bash?
I am on mute. Now I'm not.
Eli, look alive over there. You look like you're in quarantine. Or-